Good morning, 6:38, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Robert Bender is the commissioner for District 4 in Escambia County. That's the eastern half of the city of Pensacola, plus Pensacola Beach. And he joins us now by phone. Robert, welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, 20 miles an hour-ish winds are blowing out in the bay, and theoretically, we have ferry service. Is it theoretical or actual?
It is actual. It is actual. So we actually called the Coast Guard earlier this week to, over in Mobile, to try to see if they could realize the importance of how of getting this paperwork done and getting them operating. And they came through for us. They made the calls higher up, and we got the paperwork that was needed. And so Pelican Perch is running this morning.
What was the delay from last week to today that made it so they didn't launch on Friday? Paperwork only?
Is my understanding. They had passed all the inspections and certifications. It just needed to be processed. So
okay.
It's not done locally. It had to be sent off, and it was federal agencies, as he said. But we definitely appreciate Coast Guard Sector Mobile helping us.
So he's out running today. What same price though as always, $26 for a round trip. Just the one for now. Are we going to see a second one? My understanding was that we were maybe going to get the second one pretty quick too.
We're hoping to. It looks like they still have to go through some sea trials at the shipyard, and so it could be a few weeks. But I know by the couple weeks from now, they'd love to have both of them running and being able to do the Blue Angel cruises and Dolphin cruises, and hopefully our reliance on them will not be needed like it is now.
Do you have any knowledge of how many people were riding it this morning at 6 o'clock when it took off on the first trip?
I didn't. He just said that it did take off this morning. So
okay.
I think that we'll see how many people are waiting on the dock at Quietwater. To come back into Pensacola, that we'll finally get a just relaxing, on-time arrival.
Yeah, and in fairness, I think if you were somebody who was going to use the ferry, you probably decided, I'm going to wait till it's been running a day just to make sure it's actually happening. I'm not going to count on it this morning. And so maybe tomorrow we'll see a little bit more ridership, at least theoretically. Hey, speaking of that, you guys, one of the conversation points that you guys had was this conversation about potentially county, city buying the $50 million price tag Pensacola Shipyard property to turn it into working waterfront and sort of preserve it as working waterfront. I don't remember you giving an opinion about this. The general consensus seems to be, let's take another step and find out what would be involved. Not much commitment beyond that. What was your take?
So I support it. But a $50 million price tag is a lot.
Yeah.
And I support more for the importance of keeping that working waterfront. As the boat owners have told me, there's really nowhere else they can take their boats ahead of a storm. We could use it as the county as we dredge Bayou Chico and rehab that body of water with our Gulf Consortium project that we're doing as part of the BP oil spill money. And so there's a lot that can be done, and really it is important to preserve this waterfront to continue to allow it to work. But I think we definitely need to do our due diligence and see, and it is a heavy lift. Again, they'll look into it and see if it makes financial sense.
Yeah, it's not. My takeaway was it's not an obvious no, so let's keep stepping forward a little bit and get to the point where we can maybe make a little bit more of an informed decision, which I like. And obviously, if the price were better, then sure. I mean, obviously. Part of the reason that you and I were talking yesterday was you had seen my post about hitting all the green lights, starting at I-10, going down Davis through Brent, across the access road, onto the on-ramp. Every single light was green all the way to the mayor's press conference downtown. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. Everybody knows this. However, you made me aware that the Advanced Traffic Management System, the ATMS, might be in part responsible for this. Is that right?
It is. So I think it was about December. FDOT started working on the timing of the lights along the Davis corridor between Airport and Johnson. That resulted in, I'd say, in the southbound morning traffic saving about up to 30 plus seconds But the northbound traffic in the morning time saving up to a minute 45.
Wow.
Same thing in the afternoon.
So southbound and southbound in the morning 30 seconds, northbound a minute 45. And I mean, that may not seem like a lot, but that is an enormous amount of time for a short stretch of road. And you're right, that northbound is the one that hurts the worst. Going south, it tends to work better most of the time. Hey, go ahead. I kind of interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And then we also see the northbound improvements in the afternoon. I mean, I joke with some people that go up there we all know how bad that corridor is.
Yeah.
I always said that was the first place that we needed to start as we implement the ATMS. But to see the improvement they have. So the good news is they actually started implementation on Airport Boulevard, right there at I-110, taking it all the way to 12th Avenue at the airport. And so we'll see some of those same improvements on Airport Boulevard. The other thing we talked about is, you know, the one I'd really love to see.
Davis College 9th, the access road, Davis College 9th, all of that stuff. We should see some improvement. That's great. Okay.
We should start to see improvements. But the one I really want to see is just that if I go across 9th Avenue on Airport, I don't want to catch the Fresh Market light. I mean, it's they're a half a block from each other. You know, we should be able to time those better.
Yeah.
And so they should. I mean, I know that one's triggered by cars waiting in line, but still, there should be a better way to manage that. And that's some of the things that we're implementing throughout the county. To have better management of our traffic system.
And this is the kind of thing that when traffic is bad, everybody notices and they scream and moan. And then when the county, and in both counties really, are starting to do this, you know, Santa Rosa County just purchased a couple of lights like this as well, where you have this ability to remote operate the light as if a traffic cop were there to, you know, activate it, change it, and adapt it to the time of day. What's funny is people generally don't notice, oh, this is going better these days. But that's the happy state is when people aren't angry anymore, right?
It is, and I think people that do it on a daily basis do notice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know on my daily drive, if I notice there's a change in the lights or something like that, I notice.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it is the other way, but you notice you got all green lights, and you maybe didn't know exactly why or what's gone into it, but. You did notice you didn't get a red light.
Well, Grover told me that he told people to do me a favor is what I heard, but that's not it.
Well, you know, well, they're tracking your car, Andrew. They know where you are. So, you know, VIP coming through.
Yeah, let's hope
but,
not.
But yeah, you see Navarre's going to do it with the smart traffic light. I know that Daytona Beach at A1 Avenue is putting in smart traffic. We did it on the beach back in 2015, and that allows us to remotely operate it the way that we're doing. And so it's technology that we can use that helps.
Yeah.
So I think it is it does help. So I'm looking forward to I would say I usually avoid an Airport Boulevard between Davis and 9th Avenue after Thanksgiving. Because it would back up all the way to 9th Avenue from almost Davis or in front of the Lowe's and Sam's. So we hope we get better movement, and I think people will notice it if they're not having to wait.
I certainly do as well. We're talking to Robert Bender, Commissioner for District 4 in Escambia County. Hang on for just a second. I did have one other thing I wanted to ask you about. Let's get traffic on the fives with Paul Stadden.
Taking a look at your drive in, 98 to Garcon Point Bridge is backed up. Backed up on Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, especially past Yellow Marsh River Preserve State Park. Avalon backed up getting on to 10. It's just kind of a busyness. But, hey, going to let you know, eastbound, one I-10, mile marker 8, that cone is gone. So, small miracles. If you see something in the road causing a problem, let me know about it. 262-6111. With the traffic on the fives, I'm Paul Stadden.
Thanks so much, Paul. Now back to Robert Bender. Robert, one thing I wanted to ask you about just briefly is obviously yesterday the big news here was this attempted abduction of this 11-year-old girl on the west side of Pensacola. Thank God she fought back. Thank God we caught her attempted abductor. This is national news yesterday. Pensacola making news for sort of the wrong reasons, unfortunately. I just wanted to ask you, you know, obviously I have young kids, young-ish kids anymore. You have young kids still. What's your advice to parents or guidance to parents sort of the day after something like this? You know, how did it affect you guys?
Of course, One, as a parent, you always have to be vigilant. You can't let your guard down. I want to commend the little girl. It sounded like there was an interaction a few weeks ago with the same individual that made her feel uncomfortable, and she told the parent. I think that's the important thing is to let kids know that if you don't feel easy, you know, you're uneasy about something, tell your parent. You know, and I understand her mom was joined her at the bus stop for the next few days until yesterday, and maybe this person was noticing that. Again, it's to be vigilant and you know, listen to your kids.
Yes.
And I commend the parent for doing that. And very fortunate for them that the little girl's safe and that the potential abductor's been caught.
Absolutely.
Listen to your kids. And you know, if it's in their gut that something's not right, just listen to them. And I think the parent did what she, you know, what she could. She joined the mom. I'm enjoying the daughter. I've noticed it on our way to school that you know, we see a parent standing out at the bus stop with their children, and so it's just as with everything, you just have to teach your kids what to do in a situation like that. Unfortunately, it's the reality, and so I'm sure you always have talks with your kids about what to do, and you know, don't take candy from strangers, and you know, same things we were taught when we were children. So.
Yeah, that piece about listening to your kids, that's such an important part is, you know, don't dismiss things your kids say and probe, ask questions, you know, be a little, you know, they don't want to talk a lot of times. That's okay. You keep talking. You keep talking to them. Great information. Robert Bender, he is the commissioner for District 4 in Escambia County. Commissioner, thanks so much for the time this morning, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Andrew. Great. Thanks so much.